Let me start by thanking you, David, and the Australian Renminbi Working Group for the invitation to offer some remarks this morning and help, I hope, set the scene for your discussions today. Over time, the Chinese authorities have gradually opened up China's capital account. Among many other things, this has encouraged deeper financial links between Australia and China, supported by strong trade ties. But there's plenty of scope for these links to deepen further. And one way to see this is to look at cross-border investment in debt and equity markets, and what's shown here are both inflows and outflows. For China, this measure of cross-border investment remains small relative to advanced economies and to other emerging markets, and hence my suggestion that there's scope for these links to deepen further. Given the focus of today's discussions, I thought it'd be helpful just to briefly summarise how financial links between Australia and China have evolved over the past decade or so. Increased financial connections have not only revealed themselves by way of a rise in bilateral investment, but of particular interest to this audience, we've also observed a rise in the use of renminbi by businesses operating in Australia. Australia's economic relationship with China is underpinned by strong trade ties. Australian trade with China has expanded rapidly over the past decade, to the point where China is now Australia's largest trading partner. Now, of course, you can say that for many other economies, but China accounts for nearly one-third of Australia's exports and around one-fifth of our imports. And the rising share of Australia's exports going to China really stands out here in this chart. As is well known, this increase in Australian exports has been driven by China's demand for natural resources that Australia possesses in relative abundance and, increasingly, and as we've heard already, for tourism and education services. These growing economic ties have also been reflected in deepening financial integration. While the financial links with China are still in their formative stages, one financial link that's received considerable attention in recent years is Chinese investment in Australia. And this has largely been driven by two factors. So first, there's been the gradual opening up of China's capital account by Chinese authorities. And this has led to an increase in outbound investment from China. And for more than a decade, Australia has been a significant destination for this investment, both in absolute terms and relative to the size of Australia's economy. Since 2005, Chinese direct investment in Australia has averaged 0.7% of Australian GDP. Comparable figures for the US, Japan and Germany are less than 0.1% of their respective GDPs. And the second thing is there was the mining investment boom in Australia, of course, and that peaked in around 2012-13. And this too had Chinese origins as the rapid industrialisation and urbanisation of the Chinese economy underpinned the strong rise in demand for commodities and increases in commodity prices. Chinese investment played a role in expanding Australia's capacity to meet growing demand for these commodities. So as a result of these developments, the stock of Chinese investment in Australia is currently about 8 times larger than it was a decade ago. Although this is off quite a low base, and it still represents only about 2% of the total stock of foreign investment in Australia. In Australia and overseas, Chinese investment has mostly taken the form of foreign direct investment, or FDI. Portfolio investment has been limited, in part because the Chinese authorities apply tighter restrictions to portfolio flows. Unsurprisingly, during the mining investment boom, the majority of Chinese FDI in Australia was in the metals and minerals sector, as you can see here. These flows eased as mining investment wound down, and then Chinese investment shifted towards a broader range of sectors, particularly real estate and infrastructure projects. And since 2017, the Chinese authorities have limited outbound investment in certain sectors, such as real estate and tourism, and that's had some effect on Chinese investment in Australia of late. Finally, it's worth noting that large Chinese banks have expanded their Australian operations through local branches over the past decade. Lending by Chinese banks to businesses in Australia has grown from almost nothing in 2006 to around $35 billion in 2019. And although that represents only about 3.5% of total business credit, Chinese bank credit to businesses is now larger than that provided by North American banks, and it's a comparable order of magnitude to business credit provided by Japanese banks and by European banks. In other words, Chinese banks are now an important source of financing for many businesses in Australia, including, of course, Chinese companies themselves with operations here. Let me turn back going the other way and talk about Australian investment in China. A feature of Australia's relationship with China is that has received considerably less attention is that Australian investment in mainland China. This has also increased pretty significantly, as you can see here, over the past decade. The value of these holdings now around $75 billion, or about 4% of Australian GDP. And if we include Hong Kong in that number, then it's larger still. The growth of Australian investment in mainland China has reflected an increase in loans and deposits of Australian banks, and also purchases of Chinese bonds and equities by Australian investors. Notably, as you can see here, the stock of portfolio investment is greater than the stock of FDI. The increase in Australian portfolio investment in China reflects in part the greater access that foreigners have to Chinese bond and equity markets, which is something that the Chinese authorities have been actively encouraging. Despite the significant size of China's onshore capital markets, foreigners only own around 2 to 3% of these securities. And one area the authorities have been focused on in recent years has been enhancing China's Stock Connect and Bond Connect programs, which have enabled foreign investors to access Chinese onshore bonds and equities through brokers and clearing facilities in Hong Kong. Following the growth of these programs, major index providers have announced that they'll increase the weight of China's onshore equities and bonds in their benchmark indices. And these indices are tracked by fund managers, and so these changes are likely to support further inflows into China's onshore market, including from Australian investors. But I also want to talk about, very briefly, the financial link that stems from the growing role of the RMB in the global financial system. Much has been said of the topic on RMB internationalisation, including, as David suggested, by the RBA governor at the RMB Global Cities Dialogue in 2017. Today, I just want to outline very briefly what this has meant for businesses operating in Australia in practice. Although the data is a little dated, I think it's still worth looking at. Growing trade ties with China have contributed to a steady increase in the use of the RMB as an invoicing currency in trade. This has provided benefits for both Chinese and Australian businesses. It's enabled Chinese businesses to manage their exchange rate risks while providing the opportunity for Australian exporters with expenditures in RMB to just naturally hedge their exposures. So let me give you an example of that. Suppose there's a mining company that exports commodities to China, but it also might import equipment from China. That sort of company would have an incentive to settle some of its trade in RMB. Accommodating the preferences of Chinese customers and suppliers may have also helped Australian businesses to improve their trading relationships. In line with the increasing share of trade invoiced in RMB, the local RMB market has been developing. In 2014, the Bank of China was appointed an official RMB clearing bank for Australia, enabling it to provide RMB liquidity in the Australian market. As well as making it easier for businesses to settle trade in RMB, it's promoted the development of a local pool of RMB deposits. The value of RMB deposits held in Australia is now around $8 billion. The growing role of the RMB has also extended to the RBA's operations. For instance, since about 2013, the Reserve Bank has held 5% of its foreign exchange reserves in high-quality, short-term RMB assets. As well as recognising the deepening financial and economic relationship between China and Australia, the inclusion of RMB assets has enabled the RBA to diversify its investments, It's certainly enhanced our returns over the long run, and it's helped us to build an understanding of China's growing financial markets. So in conclusion, while the trading relationship between Australia and China has historically attracted much attention, the financial links between Australia and China have also deepened over the course of the past decade. And these connections are likely to continue to grow for quite a number of reasons, including the further gradual opening up of China's capital account. In turn, this opening will provide additional opportunities for both Australian and Chinese businesses, whether as a source of new capital or as a destination for new investment flows. So thank you very much. I wish you all the best for your discussions today. Thanks, David.